Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, I'm sure you've heard me talk a lot about this holiday season and what it could look like this year. But what about the gifting experience? What is that going to look like this year? Now, gift cards have been around for some time and consumers are comfortable with the physical version. But what about the virtual gift cards? Are consumers comfortable with them? Do they provide additional value not only to the end consumer, but the merchant as well? So to take a look at some really interesting insights from Blackhawk's recent brand pay study, I have Teresa McEnry, who is the VP of Marketing at Blackhawk Network, and Ted Yacobuzio, who is the Vice President and Managing Director of Research at Mercator Advisor Group. So there's certainly a lot of insights to unpack and things to learn on today's episode. So without any further delays, let's start the show. So Teresa and Ted, thank you so much for taking the time today. So Teresa, I really want to start with you here because I know that Blackhawk recently published, I think, a fantastic report that's titled the 2020 Multinational Branded Pay Report here. And as I was going through it, there were quite a few insights that I was kind of pulling out of there. And I'm really hoping that you can kind of add a little bit more context for our audience here, because I certainly think that there's some really interesting ones here. So for example, 88% of those that were surveyed shoppers in eight different markets now use digital wallets of some kind. And I'm hoping that you can unpack that audience for us, but then also give us a little bit of the what is driving this growth and what does it really mean for retailers and other businesses?
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. Excited to be here. So what was interesting, so we ran the branded pay study. We actually concluded it in market in February. And as we all know, this little pandemic happened. So we reran some of the studies, and the branded pay study was designed to look at how people pay, gift, and reward across eight different markets. So really interesting because all of our shopper preferences and behaviors pretty dramatically changed during that time period. So what we found, as you mentioned, is 88% of surveyed shoppers now use a digital wallet. Obviously, COVID has really fomented some of those behaviors that us in payments have been trying to drive adoption on for years. Before COVID, less than 38% of Americans said they used a digital wallet. And now 55%, as the economy is reopening a little bit and people are returning to stores, are using digital wallets. We believe, obviously, necessity, right? People have kind of been forced to shift their behavior, both from a security and accessibility standpoint, as well as just a feeling of safety, right? It's my phone, I can scan it, I don't have to touch, it's contactless, which is really exciting. So as more and more consumers have really kind of crossed the chasm, so to speak, in adoption, we're excited to see where this continues to take digital payments and contactless payments specifically. What we've seen is discovery, if you think about a customer's journey, is really now, it's almost payments first. If you think about an Uber or a Starbucks, they've really led this way, right? You fill up your Starbucks wallet or you order your Uber really with the anticipation of paying before you ever get your cup of coffee or take your ride. And that's where we're seeing all of these consumer shifts go. And then when you look to how that translates to in-store, right, offline from online, we're really seeing that payment become a primary engagement and discovery mechanism for retailers. So it's going to be really interesting how consumers' adoption and this big hockey stick that we've seen in the last few months is really translated by marketers and payments professionals alike.
We at Mercator have seen precisely the same results, and I think it goes along a number of vectors. The first is precisely COVID. And I think that it's ironic, if ironic is the word that I'm looking for, that it took a pandemic of this scope and a potential global economic disaster of this magnitude to move people to digital wallets, but it's certainly happening. What we're finding at Mercator is really, as I say, progressing along a number of vectors. First of all, they are using digital wallets more, but secondly, they're simply going online and using their mobile phones for more shopping necessities than ever before. Secondly, small businesses have discovered that they're going to be able to move more merchandise by switching to a digital channel. Now, that's partly by being more ready acceptance of mobile wallets in the physical point of sale, but it's also using their own native websites as well as marketplaces to move their merchandise. All of this is pointing in the same direction, which is to say that consumers have discovered that mobile wallets are an exceptionally safe, convenient, and instantaneous way to pay. And COVID has given them the extra shove they needed to move into that territory.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. You know, and when we look at how brands want to engage and that kind of primacy of payment and consumers adopting digital wallets, it starts to be such an exciting landscape, right? We were talking about omni-channel shopping experiences, and now we're talking about omni-channel payments experiences. And I think especially in the time of COVID, they're digital first payment experiences. So as we all emerge or we redefine what normal is, how will payments kind of lead the way? I think it's just going to be such a fantastic and phenomenal time for payments and for marketers and how those two start to converge. So some really exciting trends there.
Indeed.
Yeah, I certainly have to agree with all the points there, you know, especially at the fact that it really kind of took this pandemic to really get people to recognize just the additional value. And I think from my personal opinion, just the better consumer experience of a digital wallet. But kind of looking down a little bit more at this report here, right? So the same report also found that more than half of consumers surveyed have now purchased or received a digital gift card. So let's perhaps discuss the significance of that fact.
Yeah, it's really exciting. You know, Blackhawk got its start in gift cards and physical retail, and that's long been such a huge opportunity. As you walk into a grocery store, you pick up a gift card, and you go to a barbecue or you go to a birthday party. Oh, wow, that entire shopping experience has been completely disrupted. So we've actually seen triple digit growth within our digital gifting business. And consumers, similar to digital wallets, right, have really kind of crossed the chasm. So e-gifts, digital gifting, and even buying gift cards online has now become a really widely accepted and embraced and celebrated way to not only gift, but to purchase products for self-use. So we'll talk about the gifting side, right? Obviously, there's not a lot of travel, there's drive-by birthday parties. So how do you connect and celebrate from a personal perspective? People are finding the personalization that you can do with digital gifting really exciting, right? It also enables you to send a gift that people can find their own individual use and purpose for. I think we all live in the days of you basically have everything delivered to your doorstep. So maybe sending another brown box is not exactly the way you want to go. You can send a gift card and somebody can select something for themselves, right? Whether it's, you know, hey, I'm redoing my home office, or I need another pair of yoga pants for my new business casual work attire. So I think that's fantastic. We've also seen companies really embracing digital gifting. So if you think about the environment that we live in, it's really this work from anywhere. I know on my own team, we found, you know, we need unique ways to connect over all of these Zoom meetings that we have. So how can you kind of have a digital lunch together? Well, great. Send everybody a digital gift card. We have corporate customers who are looking to engage with kind of the work from anywhere employee base. Right? Not everybody's at their home address. So even if you wanted to send them something, it's probably a lot of work for a manager to be able to send, you know, a gift basket or some company swag direct to door. I've got employees who are, you know, posted up with their parents because they need additional support with childcare, or maybe people are taking up Bermuda on their new visa license, right? People are everywhere. And that's kind of the fun and a little bit of the challenge of getting rewards in hand from a B2B perspective. So digital gifting has totally taken off there. And then when you look at self-use, it's kind of the last pillar here. Gaming, online streaming content is huge right now, right? No surprise to anyone. And a lot of individuals as well as parents are using digital gifting for things like gaming as kind of a budget and content management, right? I might not give my 12-year-old my credit card, but I'll give them a, you know, $20 Roblox gift card, for instance. So we've seen people really, really embrace gifting, digital gifting overall, and it's just been a really exciting time to see kind of which channels they're adopting, which digital products they're engaging with. So just a lot of exciting trends that we've seen there globally.
Just like to add one little footnote there that I've always found pretty interesting, which is this top of wallet issue. What we heard again and again from the inception of digital wallets was you had to be top of wallet. You had to be top of wallet. You had to make your card from a rewards and features perspective as attractive as possible so that it was the customer's go-to card. Now, there were holes in that, of course, if the card was maxing out or if the consumer had an affinity relationship of some kind or a co-brand relationship, that's all to one side. But the great thing with the digital gift card is the top of wallet issue goes away. The funds are resident on that instrument. There's no other way to use them. So from a B2B perspective, from an issuing perspective, this is a win-win. This often sidesteps the top of wallet issue in a way that doesn't hurt anybody in the value chain and makes the transaction that much more attractive.
And Theo, that's a fantastic footnote. And actually what we've seen is a lot of these emerging or ascendant brands have really leaned into gift cards, specifically digital gifting, to acquire and grow their customer base, right? Inherently, somebody purchases a digital gift card and they're a new customer, right? And we all love the overperformance of gift cards. There's just kind of the psychological imperative with a gift card. Whether you bought it yourself or somebody gave it to you, you're going to trial something new. Maybe you're going to go up a little bit in kind of the from basic to premium. You might try a new category. So we've actually seen a lot of high growth brands really lean into gift cards as a way to expand their reach and their growth. So absolutely from that top of wallet, captive customer with your brand on it, it's a fantastic experience for a lot of these high growth brands as well.
From the perspective of the branding issue, from the perspective of the impact, It's just a win-win for everybody in the value chain.
Yeah, who doesn't love a good gift card?
No, I certainly have to agree with you there, Teresa, on that. And to one of the points that you made in terms of just budgeting, you know, my son is a bit younger, certainly loves the esports in that world. And let me just tell you, yes, it is a huge, huge market when you take a look at it. And certainly a lot of microtransactions that go along with it. I mean, just spend about a good 10 minutes on Twitch or YouTube or anything, and you'll instantly start to realize the amount of microtransactions that goes on one of these platforms. It's just astounding. But we certainly also use gift cards in terms of just from a budgeting perspective. There's a certain game that he likes to play. And so, okay, he wants whatever their in-game, you know, value is or whatever. So by using gift cards and especially digital gift cards, it's a fantastic way to kind of budget things. So we're not just saying, hey, yeah, let's put the card on file here and, you know, have the unfortunate incident of him racking up a huge bill on these because he doesn't quite understand the conversion of that from actual dollars to in-store game money there. So I certainly think from a budgeting perspective, it is certainly a well-valued payments tool here. But I'd like to kind of get into the online side of things. And this is one certainly interesting data point that really kind of, you know, had my jaw drop a little bit here. So one of the findings from the report that is really worth highlighting was that online shopping has really surpassed in-store shoppers, with 53% of people shopping more frequently online than they do in-store. So I'm curious to get what has really caused this shift and what should merchants do to adapt?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really fantastic stat, and it's exciting to see how consumer behavior is changing, I think, hourly. And what do we mean by online shopping? And I think that's the definition. If you look at what COVID has accelerated, it's all of these kind of online initiated but maybe not necessarily delivery consummated services, right? So if you think about shopping online, you can have your traditional e-commerce experience and something's going to show up in your inbox or it's going to show up at your doorstep. But there's also the online to curbside, online to in-store. So there's all of these really great new shopping experiences that consumers have migrated to. And we've also talked to consumers, and they believe that a lot of these behaviors are going to continue to persist even after COVID is in the rearview mirror, hopefully, right? We all hope that's kind of sooner than later here. But when you think about your discovery, and we talked about that a little bit, when you think about the discovery and how consumers are experiencing a brand, it's different. It's going to start online, right? Discovery, curating your basket, looking at specific products, making sure I know different retailers, there's been supply chain challenges across the spectrum, making sure that somebody has a product before you make the journey. So much shopping is being done online because it's not just the two-door delivery. It's, if I want to pull up at Target, for example, and get my car loaded up, that's a great experience. Especially as people are hoping to accomplish, low contact or contactless travel. So it's just been a really great, great migration. And I think we'll see it fold back into just this truly interconnected omni-channel or truly interconnected kind of offline to online and back again experience. We're also seeing a lot of our retailers look at how this translates to payments. We talked about contactless. Things like how do gift cards make it into your bag, right? If you're getting delivery, how do gift cards drive an online purchase? Can you incent people to pick up curbside? So we're also seeing people use payments and digital rewards to kind of accelerate the adoption of some of these new or novel shopper experiences.
Yeah, I'd just like to throw in, if I could, some Mercator findings as well that back this up. We're seeing the digitalization of payments proceed apace. We just put in our first COVID small business panel, and we found that, in fact, card payments, which of course covers a multitude of sins among small businesses, has risen an astonishing 8 full percentage points over the same period last year. That's what small business merchants are telling us. That means that the share is being taken away from cash and checks, and more people are using more and more kinds of digital instruments to pay for what they need. So that in terms of growth of channel, we're seeing a growth of 67% to 63% on online sales. We're seeing growth of 42% to 36% in mobile sales. All of these indicate that consumers are finally understanding that while cash may be desirable in what you might want to call a normal environment, in the current environment, digital money really has just too many advantages over physical money. Now, that's not to say that the needle may shift slightly when we're in more normal times, but I think the lessons that consumers have learned about the advantages of digital money, whatever the tender, are going to stick. And so that these behaviors that we've seen develop, curbside pickup, food delivery, ride sharing, whether or not they've been impacted directly by the virus or are simply ongoing trends, these are going to influence consumer behavior moving forward to a really large extent.
Yeah, and Theo, I love that. One point to call out too is the retailer apps, right? And when you think about online, it's no longer a desktop. We saw in the U.S. that the number of Americans who had never used a retailer app actually fell from 32% to just 13% with kind of our in COVID research. And the shopping experience in an app, for by and large, is way better right, than that on a desktop. It's also a closed environment, right? You've got that interconnectivity of a wallet or of a stored value. So myself, right, it's always good to be a consumer first. I'm a Sam's Club customer, and we've continued to shop there because they've got scan and go, right? It's completely, it's a touchless checkout experience. I've got my phone, it's connected to my credit card, and I just scan and check out. And in today's environment, I would have never used it before, but I use it now, and I'll continue to use it as we go forward. I know my parents, who are of a certain generation, right, they've adapted new products and new service lines. I know my dad sent my husband some alcohol on Drizzly, right? So it's just all of these new brands and apps that people are now engaging with. And it'll be really interesting to see, because apps are kind of the perfect closed environment of commerce and payment and brand experience. So it'll be really exciting to see how those persist going forward, because as we've been talking about, right, all of these new behaviors are being laid and really persisted. So I think it'll be really great to see how those evolve.
Yeah, I certainly have to agree with all of that there. And I have to beg the pardon of my audience here. I think I've been a little bit of a selfish host here, because I think that there's a lot of great insights that were coming out of that report that we're talking about today. So, Teresa, I'd really like it if maybe you could kind of pull some interesting facts that you found, that you obtained from that report there. And then also maybe we can kind of conclude this conversation by talking about, you know, what does Black Hawk Network really believe that these findings mean for the industry overall?
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. You know, I think obviously the pandemic and kind of all our recent experience as shoppers as a whole has really put digital payments at the forefront, and really digital payments, digital gifting and rewarding. And it's been exciting to see this acceleration and adoption. It'll be exciting to see the innovation that it drives forward. We're really only beginning to realize what these shifts in shopping, gifting, and payments will be. Consumers have told us they expect a lot of these behaviors to persist. I think that we all know well what a consumer says and what a consumer does can sometimes be a little bit different. So it'll be interesting to see kind of these actions in market. Businesses will absolutely need to continue to keep a pulse on trends like payments, how that drives engagement overall, as we've gotten consumers to adapt to this digital first discovery. Once we return to more of an in-store format, how do we connect the two? How does that become a symphonic experience for your brand and for engagement? I think there's a lot of opportunity there when you look at digital wallets, payment strategy, gifting, and kind of the ins and outs of how you acquire a customer, how you retain them, and what that experience looks like, long tail. And then I'll leave you on this. So consider this, 44% of people that we spoke to said that they were unlikely to return to their normal shopping behaviors as stores start to reopen. And in the US, 78% of consumers expect permanent changes to shopping experiences as a result of COVID. So changes here. As you think about your own brand and your own payment strategy, it's how do you take that forced innovation of kind of this wild time we're all in and carry it forward as a really great new way to adapt and innovate the customer journey. So I'll leave you with that.
Excellent. Well, I certainly think that that's a great thing to be left upon. And I certainly think that I fit into one of those 44% that you're talking about. So Teresa and Ted, thank you so much for taking the time today for speaking to me about Black Hawk Network's 2020 Multinational Branded Pay Report and Consumer Payment Preferences. And I hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ryan.